Today's passage strikes an ominous tone. There are forebodings of some things to come. But the message at the end of the day that Jesus wants to convey in this is that everything is going to be all right. I want you to have this in mind as we reflect on today's passage, on today's word for us. A lot of us drive, right? A lot of you drive. I mean, that's how you get to church. It's hard to get here otherwise. Nowadays, when I drive, it doesn't really matter even if I know where I'm going. I use GPS for everything, mainly so that it'll give me the optimal route, right? It knows the traffic conditions and it'll tell me what the best way to get there is. But back in the day, before any of these technologies exist, human beings relied on other things to provide them with a sense of direction and orientation. Way back in human history, before any devices were available, a lot of people looked to the stars. They would see certain stars in the sky, and that would provide them, that's my direction. That's my orientation. They provided a compass for people to travel. They are like anchors in the sky that would orient our direction. Our human life is like this. We have, or we seek anchors in our life. And these anchors, they kind of provide a direction. Anchors in my life right now are my family, my church ministry, and my health. Those are anchors. I mean, every day is, and they kind of shape my day-to-day routine. I wake up, I have to get my kids ready for school. That's my routine. And then after that, I try to get as much done for church and work or meeting people, whatnot, before it's time to pick them up again. And then it's on to evening things with the kids and the family. So all these things. And all this stuff is predicated on my health, too. Without health, that's why Reverend Kim often says for pastors, number one rule is you're not allowed to get sick. Right? We're just not allowed. There's no sick days. So these are anchors in my life, and these anchors, they shape my day-to-day life, and they give direction and orientation. The details, they change a lot, right? Kids' programs change, so then the scheduling will change. In the life of the church, always something different, so those details change. But these anchors, they remain in place, and they give my life a sense of direction. What happens, though, when one or any of these anchors are shaken up? What happens when the foundation of some of these anchors start to crumble? If you're looking at the stars for direction, and suddenly some of these stars disappear, what are you going to do? You'll be lost. You'll be disoriented. Yes, life is full of change. But when changes affect the foundations, these anchors of your life, and we feel lost. Jesus is trying to address this question in today's passage. How do you respond when your foundations are shaken? A very important question for all of us. See, the passage begins with the temple. The disciples came out of the temple and marveled at how big the structures were. The temple was the anchor of Jewish life in Jesus' time. It regulated the routine of Jewish life. It set all life focused on it. This was the second temple. Back in 1,000 years before that, King David, he first conceived of a great temple to worship God and where God would reside. But he was too busy fighting wars and consolidating power, so he couldn't do it. So his son Solomon was able to build a temple that lasted for 500 years, and then the Babylonians came in took over and they destroyed that temple. So for another 500 years, it kind of remained, there was no temple. And then the Romans came in and took over. The Jews didn't like that. The Romans appointed Herod as king. So what Herod did, the only requirements the Romans set on him was, you're going to collect taxes from the Jews and you're going to keep the peace there. So what Herod did was he began a great building project to erect a grand temple, much grander than what Solomon had built. And so over a period of 40, 50 years, he did so. And that's why the disciples are marveling at it. It was quite a marvel to behold. And then that temple, it became the center of Jewish life. So in a way, that helped placate the Jewish population. Even though they didn't have political autonomy, they at least had the temple. And that means they had God on their side still. God was present in this temple. But in verse 2, Jesus is saying, you see these wonderful buildings here? It's all going to be destroyed. Think of how the disciples felt. That's very unsettling to hear. This anchor of your faith life about to be destroyed. Foundations are being shaken. What would they do without the temple, and who would they be? So they understandably, they wanted to know, when will this be? And what will be the signs that this is about to happen? And Jesus' response is very interesting. He does not answer their question of when and what signs to look out for. That's what we want to do to predict and prepare and protect ourselves. Our whole insurance industry is based on that, looking for signs and predicting risk. But that's not what Jesus answered. His response to their question is simply this: do not be led astray. Don't be led astray. When your foundations are shaken and you're feeling lost, don't be led astray. And I realize there's such truth and wisdom in this. When we're feeling lost, we are very susceptible to feeling astray. Because when you're feeling lost, it's a very uneasy feeling. No one likes to feel lost, not knowing where you're going. And so our impulse is, I got to do something. I can't just stay still being lost. I got to do something. So we don't know what to do often, though, so we seek answers. And so we're very susceptible to listening to people who have answers. And you all know there are so many voices out there, so many people who have answers. So many people who project confidence and knowledge. This is why I'm not on social media. Too many voices, too many influencers. I don't want to be so influenced by all these influencers. You know what I'm saying? Because when I examine it, I mean, I'm sure there are some who are really out there because they care and they want to help. But I think for a lot of them, their main goal is to gain a following. So their job is to kind of understand the temperature, what people are feeling. And they can tap into that, tap into the fear and anxiety you're feeling, and then say, here's my solution, here's my answer, follow me. So often, those who are best at doing that, and those who are loudest, and those who are flashiest, those voices win out, and people follow them. But you know, the Greek word used for being led astray, another meaning of that is deceived. So the NIV, for example, says, do not be deceived. You know what the main deceit is with all these voices? They promise a great destination, but they leave out all the difficult details it takes to get there. They promise a grand vision, but they leave out the often treacherous journey, the great difficulty it will take to get there. There's a green grass on the other side, but the path is also very green. Because that's the only way they can get people to follow them. Right? Life is hard enough as it is. We don't want to listen, follow someone who says, yeah, I have a great destination, but you know, it's going to be really, really hard. But come with me anyways. No, people will not follow that. So that is one of the main deceptions of all these voices out there saying, follow me. But the interesting thing is, in today's passage, Jesus doesn't make such promises. In fact, he says the opposite. He mentions wars, famines, and earthquakes. I mean, think about that. Wars, famines, and earthquakes. And he says these things must happen. What he's saying is these kind of foundation-shattering things, they are going to happen to you. He's not saying, oh, you know, let's see what we can do to avoid them. They are going to happen. I mean, that's such a reality in this world we see too. The wars, you know, in the Middle East, in Ukraine, people who've been through, they know it is literally shaking the foundation of their life, upended their life. That is just the way life is. There will be changes that shake these anchors in your life. But Jesus' message is, do not be alarmed. That's what he says. Do not, when you hear of wars and rumors of wars, do not be alarmed. Yes, this must take place. But what does he say at the end of that sentence? But the end is still to come. In other words, these kind of bad things, yes, they're going to come your way in life, but it will not be over. That is not the end of the story. The end is still to come. And in fact, in verse 8, what Jesus says is all these kind of foundation-shaking things are going to happen, but rather than being the end, these things will rather be the beginning of something new. He refers to it as the beginnings of the birth pangs. Yes, birth pangs. For all the, I mean, I'm not a woman. I was only there beside Deb when she was giving birth, but so painful in the beginning, the labor pains, but it produces something new and beautiful. That's what Jesus is saying. There will be things that shatter your foundation, your world, but don't be alarmed. These things will be the beginning of something new. The question is, what is the path to get there? And he's saying it's not an easy path. There will be no easy answers on how we get to this thing that's new and beautiful. When these stars in the sky that you relied upon, when they disappear, what do you do? I think the impulse is you want to just start walking, right? Oh, I'm lost here. I got to get going, right? So you've all heard, if you're in the forest and you're lost with no compass and you start walking, what's going to happen? You end up going in a circle and you end up right where you started, right? It's kind of weird. I think there's some scientific study on that. Why? But that's what happens. If you just walk aimlessly, you're going to go in a circle and end up right where you began. So that's not the answer. Just because you feel uneasy to start moving. Sometimes you need to stay still. And so if those stars you relied on are not there anymore, you need to stay still and then start noticing other things. Maybe you start noticing other stars that you didn't need to pay attention to before, but now, oh, there's some other stars. You look at your surroundings and start noticing, oh, these rivers, okay, these hills, right? Ah, those trees that are formed like that. And then you begin to get a new sense of orientation of where you are. And then you can now have a new compass based on different things. So yes, when the foundations are shaken, the instinct to start doing something. But sometimes we need to stay still and pay attention and become attuned to our surroundings. So that's what the important thing, I think, is. When you are feeling uneasy, your foundations are shaken, sometimes you need to stay still and become in tune. As Elder Jenny prayed, this is what we reflected a lot on this on Friday at our Bible study. Spirituality of being in tune, connected. I mean, it's a beautiful word, like in tune. So in tune with yourself. Know what you're feeling. And sometimes that's the last thing we want to do is think about what it is that I'm feeling. But sometimes we need to be in tune with that. I mean, our men's group gathering last night was amazing. It was a bunch of dudes gather, but guy, you know, a lot of guys don't like to talk, but we started sharing and we're starting to get in tune with our thoughts as we're talking about retirement. So as the foundation of their career and work is about to change, what kind of thoughts am I thinking? What kind of feelings am I feeling? You have to be in tune. And you have to be in tune with life around you too. What is happening around me that's starting to make me feel a little uneasy? You have to notice things around you. We have to know things in the world too. I mean, these last 5 years have been so much change. A lot of the anchors that people used to be able to trust in and rely upon, they've been shaken. So there's no trust anymore for that. People are feeling very lost and uneasy, which easily makes people upset or frustrated or angry. We have to be in tune with yourself and with life. And ultimately, the spiritual journey of being in tune with God's voice. So instead of listening to all the other voices out there, you have to be in tune with God. And hear how God is speaking to you. My friends, if you're not in tune, your life will just be a metaphorical or literal walking in circles. The heart of the spiritual journey is being in tune with the voice of God and listening to God's voice. Jesus describes himself as the good shepherd, and this is how he described it. John, yeah. The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep hear his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes ahead of them, and the sheep follow him because they know his voice. They will not follow a stranger, but they will run from him because they do not know the voice of strangers. Yes, we follow the voice of our good shepherd because we know his voice. Our spiritual journey is to get to know his voice and to recognize his voice, to discern that voice from the sea of other voices. And the journey that the shepherd leads us on, it's different from the journey that all these other people purport to lead us in. Yes, the shepherd leads his sheep to green pastures. That was beautiful Psalm 23. The shepherd will lead sheep to green pastures. But see, the thing is, once the sheep finish grazing, they have to find another pasture, and it's often going to be very far away. So the shepherd needs to take the sheep on a journey. And that journey is not an easy journey. They have to go through hills and mountains and cliffs and all sorts of treacherous paths even. And on the way, there's all these wild animals who want food. So it's a slow journey. You can't rush that journey. You can't get from point A to B in a day. Slow journey. But the sheep know the shepherd's voice, and they trust the shepherd, and they follow slowly but surely. Even through the dangerous paths, they trust the shepherd. Our good shepherd cares for you. He watches over you. This is what Jesus says about the good shepherd. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand, who is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and runs away. And the wolf snatches them and scatters them. The hired hand runs away because a hired hand does not care for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. Amen. Isn't that good news? We have a good shepherd who watches over you and lays his life down for you. We do not follow a hired hand who at the first sign of trouble will just run away. What happens to all the followers when the leader like gets in trouble and they take off and look after themselves? Jesus will never do that. He will watch over, protect us, and lay his life down as he already has. That is the kind of shepherd I want to follow. That is the kind of shepherd I want to listen to. My friends, when your foundations feel shaky, when your anchors are crumbling, do not be led astray. Do not be alarmed. Stay still and listen for the voice of our God. Everything is going to be all right.